You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yep, dream it, believe it, become it, come on up. I am so honored to be one of our first ever guests that we had 4 years ago at the Overeem. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, living that big life that you're living right now. I want to know, sir, like, are you actually retired, or have you still got aspirations to carry on fighting?
Absolutely retired.
All right.
The last fight was a year ago, and after that match, because in your mind, you don't want to retire. You want to keep going. But after the match, my body didn't want to do it anymore. And then I actually felt the peace with it. And now all new exciting projects. I'm enjoying life. Because there's so much more as the fight scene, the fight world. And it has consumed so many years of my life. So for me, it's very pleasant to now actually see beyond fighting, experience, explore. And the world is a lot tougher.
Okay. Because, like, well, you're engaged now, or are you married? What do you know?
We're getting married 2025. Yeah.
Right. Because I heard, like, you proposed in the Burj Khalifa, right?
Yes.
I heard it was a big kind of thing. It's, that's so I hear. It's like, Kaz was really gassed over it. Like, yeah, man, it was incredible.
But you're going to do it once. You're going to do it big, right? Or you're not going to do it at all. But it was a special moment for a very special person. She said yes, so we're all good. It was not in vain. And now we're proceeding to 2025.
Right. I remember when you first came on the show 4 years ago. The time's gone really quick. 4 years ago when you came on the show, and you were speaking about relishing the opportunity to try and fight Tyson Fury. Now that you're retired, it's like people must have picked up on that, right? Because then Tyson Fury ends up fighting Francis Ngannou, a person that you know very well. And they kind of stole your idea, bro.
They did. And then taking great steps in that idea, couldn't have done it better myself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's doing it. He's waiting out his UFC contract and then fighting Tyson Fury, having it go to decision. I didn't really believe Ngannou got that dominated that bad. And in fact, he was the more dangerous man that evening. So, you can only admire his path, right? From Africa to Europe, to the streets in France, to the UFC, to the title. There's some ups and downs, and now into boxing. It's a very inspirational story, I believe.
It's an amazing story. Now, I'm saying, because you know fighting, right? And you understand fighting. You also understand the psyche of it, like, especially, like, from doing the mixed martial arts, from doing the kickboxing. I remember when I speak to you was on the show, and you said, like, professional boxing is limited combat sport. Do you believe that Francis Ngannou will beat Anthony Joshua?
Those are two contradictory statements, but let's go. So boxing is limited fighting, but not to say that it is less technical, right? I've been a striker myself for, I don't know, I've been training strength for 30 years, and there's always something to learn. And I found actually a great deal of knowledge in the boxing, in the angles, in the footwork, by the great coaches, studying the great coaches. So I think it's a very complicated art, especially when you go to the level of Tyson Fury, now Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua. So there's a lot of details. There's a lot of strategies, you would say, techniques, little details that I think can be learned. But still, it's not wrestling, because if you add the wrestling into it. And there, I think that Francis will have an advantage, physical strength, maximum strength. Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you fought Francis, what was that, 2017? I'm going to be real with you, that's telling your career. Because what was you in that? How old was you in that fight?
That was 17, so that's 37.
Yeah, 37. I'm saying, not taking anything away from Francis Ngannou's win, because it was a great win, but I believe that you passed your sell by date from, like, we've seen it with, like, you know, great fights, because, like, a lot of people were being, like, making a comparison between you and Mike Tyson just for that brute aggression. That brute aggression, but the tactical smarts to be a demolition kind of person. So, but what do you think Francis Ngannou, apart from the power, what do you think he'd bring to the table in going up against somebody like Anthony Joshua, who has been a very well-accomplished amateur and also a unified world champion?
Well, in the case of Francis Ngannou, you don't know, right? Obviously, he's training something. And the other thing is, I think he got a little bit underestimated in the Tyson Fury fight, because actually the entire world would think, hey, Tyson Fury is just going to have a walkover. But that was not the case. But then again, Anthony Joshua is a whole different fighter, right? I would say very dangerous fighter, very versatile fighter. So it will be very interesting to see how Anthony Joshua will have his game plan and try to pick Francis Ngannou apart, and what gains did Francis make, if he made any gains at all. But I can't believe he's in it to win it. So he's training to win fights. So he's still developing, he's still learning. And right. maybe there also was some jitters, because his first boxing fight, his first, was it 10 rounds? 10 rounder?
10 rounds.
He's used to 5 rounds, but this is only boxing. First time, different audience, different vibe, different energy. So for him, it's also a little, it goes by trial and error. So I'll be on the lookout to see how Francis Ngannou has grown as a boxer.
So, like, if you had the opportunity, yeah, a younger version of you, Alistair, and you had that opportunity to be in a ring with an Anthony Joshua, how would you fight Anthony Joshua?
Well, the thing is, I never did an only boxing fight. Although, of course, I have some hands. I've been doing some kickboxing, of course.
You're an incredible striker.
I don't know. My fight style also changed over the years. Mm-hmm. I think I became more technical in the later part of my career. And I actually finished my career at the peak of my technical performance. In the last fight, Balari fight, I was really sharp and I was good. I could fight in the distance, in the pocket, movement, everything was just there. So I don't know. I would have to switch only to boxing, figure that out better. I never did that. With me, it was always kicks and knees involved in the K1, and then clinching and wrestling and submissions with the UFC. But I never only did fists. And that feels a little bit limited as well. I mean, no disrespect, because it's fucking the cardio, but it feels like, yeah. I know, I always thought the other techniques were like a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because so if you don't only use hands, it's kind of more likely to go to the later rounds. Say again?
How would you fight someone like Anthony Joshua? How would you fight if you had the opportunity to be in the ring? How would you fight?
If you're gonna have to think in points, how to gain your advantage. You're gonna have to study footwork. You're gonna have to study distance, frequency of a boxing fight, and I don't know. Maybe what I did in the K1 fights, in the K1 Grand Prix fights, I looked at different things I could use. So I used my weight, and I used little bumps and little small details to get the win. To gain off balance, gain time, punish the enemy, and then I don't knock him out or get on points.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's possible in boxing.
Okay. How do you think Francis Ngannou should approach fighting Anthony Joshua?
Well, of course, with his coaches, right? It starts there. So you're gonna have to make a game plan, maybe even two or three. And maybe even four game plans, and then you need to alternate in between those game plans, because Anthony Joshua can do that. He can fight in different ways. That's what you saw with Tyson Fury, after he got dropped, he got very careful, and he went to a different autopilot mode, which Francis couldn't deal with. So he just outpointed him, very safe. Not very nice for the audience, but for him, it was just a safe way to win the fight. So it's again curious for me to see, because of course I analyze these fighters differently as a fighter. It's very curious to analyze what game plan Anthony Joshua will, multiple game plans, and then also which games Francis has made. Because Francis needs to come up with something new, right? Because he not really got exposed, but he did show a way in which he could be beaten.
Right. Because I was amazed at the press conference, which was an excellent press conference, put on at the Alternate down in the West End of London. Massive props to everybody involved, because it was, I like how they put these things on them. It's like the big involvement with Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Al-Sheikh, is really doing a lot to promote the sport and entertainment of the country. And I think it's excellent what he's done, because you've got two major promoters in this country and in the world as well, in Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, to sit down together and to make great fights. And that's what they're doing. I think that's excellent. Now, with this Joshua fight here, I was amazed at the press conference at the size difference. Like, I've never really been intimidated with being around a fellow human being. I went into Francis Ngannou's change room after his fight with Tyson Fury, right? And the size of that guy, I ain't gonna lie to you, he is. I was taken aback by the size of him. He's a very, very big unit. Anthony Joshua is a big human being. I've known Anthony for years, even before he turned professional, right? So I've seen his growth. But being around Anthony Joshua, because you know someone, they're being big, doesn't surprise you. Ngannou is a different entity of big. Anthony Joshua sat beside him, looked like a middleweight or a light heavyweight compared to him in boxing terms. Compared to him, the size difference is big. Do you think that's going to be a telling factor in the fight, the size?
Say again?
Do you think the size difference is going to be a telling factor?
I just can go off what I saw, and that was that in the Tyson Fury Ngannou fight, Tyson Fury is used to be able to use his weight somewhat, and on Francis Ngannou that game did not play at all. he just couldn't use his weight. They were kind of sort of similar in weight, but then I think that Francis put his weight on Tyson a little bit here, a little bit there, not in a heavy way, but that surprised, I think, Tyson. Yeah, let's see what Anthony Joshua is going to be doing about that, right? Because the physical presence in the ring could be a factor. I don't know how, again, I'm not an expert, but something that Tyson Fury uses.
Because in this fight here, it's going to be a lot of weight difference in this fight.
Yeah, exactly.
20 pound difference. That's a lot of weight. You know what I mean? They're talking like 2 stone. It's a lot of weight. Now, me personally.
And then the thing is, you need to be able to deal with that. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So if you had to give a prediction on this fight, I mean, because it's my final question to you. If you had to give Alistair Overeem, the legend of mixed martial arts, if you were to give a prediction for this fight, Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou, what would your prediction be?
That's difficult. That actually is difficult. But what I do like about it is that I really do not know. As well as with the Francis Ngannou Fury fight, I also did not know. I knew something was going to happen, and something actually did happen. And again, with this fight, yeah, the same, similar. Something will happen. I don't know what, and that excites me. I cannot give you the clear on paper, Anthony Joshua all day, but then again, Francis is a big human being, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to your fight with me. But does he punch that hard?
I don't even remember.
Right.
That's the positive thing about those kind of things. You just in the locker room, what happened? Until your coaches get annoyed. This is the fifth time you're asking, go take a shower. And then, yeah.
Alistair, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the Fighters Right. Thank you so much, my brother. And looking forward to seeing you out in Saudi, because me and Kaz are going to link up in Dubai first, and then we're going to be traveling over to you. So hopefully you're there with us. I think the TV companies and everything could garner a lot from having a person like you, because you come across as a gentleman. You're very wise on the sport, and I think like they could gain from having someone of you and your experience to talk about this big fight coming up.
Yeah. Listen, I'm there. It's always interesting to share my insights, right? We've had a couple of fights. So, I tend to look at it a little bit differently. But looking forward to seeing you in Riyadh.
Yes, sir. All right, then, Alistair, you take care. God bless, my brother. Thank you.
Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.